YouTube, welcome to another very exciting Andrew Kramer-esque beginning to a GIMP know-how tutorial. And in this tutorial, we will be using GIMP to make this 2010 clockwork text effect in honor of the new year, of course. Just like to draw attention to my amazing new YouTube background. Actually, I'm being too conceited. It's a new YouTube background I made, and yeah, I actually got inspired by this by the distribution Linux Mint. So if you want to know where I got the color scheme and stuff, that is all because of Linux Mint, a distribution of Linux, as the name Linux Mint would suggest. Anyway, let's get on with the tutorial. Alright, so what I've done is that I opened up a new image, 640 by 400 standard size, and I'm going to grab the text tool and use the font Optima Heavy. And if you don't have that, you can use any font, it's fine. So I'm going to type in 2. For the beginning of 2010. And now I'm going to make the base border for it. So I'm going to right click on the layers tab on the 2 and click alpha to selection. Now I'm going to I'm just going to take the gradient tool and using the gradient golden, which can be found like right by greens, I'm just going to stroke down a golden gradient, and this will be our base border. Now I'm going to click select shrink, and I'm going to shrink the selection by 3. This will effectively allow me to open up an image into the selection and have this border still be there. So I went file, open as layers, and then selected this mechanical image to be opened. You can find the link in the description. Now, since we already have the 2 selected, 3 borders shrunk, 3 pixels shrunk, of course, I'm going to move the 2 to a relatively mechanical part of the image, and then I'm going to right-click on the image and add an alpha channel. Then I'm going to click select, invert, edit, cut, select, none. And what this has done is it has allowed me to make this 3 pixels smaller than the border. Now I'm going to alpha to selection this, and then click edit, cut on the bottom layer. You'll find out why this is important in a second. So basically all I've done, and I'm moving that layer above, so basically all I've done is just made a 3 pixel border around here. Now I'm going to go script foo layer effects bevel and emboss. Now don't worry if you don't have this, I'll have the link in the description along with a link to a video of how to install it. So I'm going to choose the mode inner bevel with the depth set at 2 and the size set at 1 and everything else left at default. This should give you a nice beveled border. So now what you're going to want to do is you're going to end up with 2 layers about like this. So I'm going to right click and then click merge down. And now we have the bevel on one border, and you can go ahead and merge that down one further. So we just have the whole border on one layer. Now what I need to do is alpha to selection this layer again, the inside, and make a new layer and fill that layer in completely with black. Now click select shrink by 4 pixels, then click edit, cut, select, none. Now alpha to selection this bottom layer again and click filters, blur, Gaussian blur. I'm going to blur it by about 9. Select, none. And what we've done is we've made it look like this is, we've added a bit of depth where there is a shadow on the end of the border. So now we have our base letter completed, and we can begin adding tidbits, as it were. The first main tidbit, I guess you could say, as I'm adding is I'm going to go file, open as layers, and I'm going to open up that same mechanical image. And what I'm going to do is move that to the very top layer first, and then take the circle tool and select this one. Now I'm going to add another alpha channel to this, then click select, invert, then select feather, which basically blurs the selection a little bit, by 1, then click OK. Now I'm going to click edit, cut, and basically all we've done is just cut out this 1. Now I'm going to go layer, auto crop layer, just so I can, auto crop layer won't work, but still, just so I can manage it a little easier. And so I'm going to size this down a little bit, click OK, and that's why auto crop wouldn't work. Just delete any excess. Alright, now I'm going to move this. And I'm going to move it below both the shadow and the underline, so it looks like it is in the 2. The next thing I'm going to add to the 2 is the last thing we're going to add to the 2, coincidentally. We're going to go File, Open as Layers, and open up the same image again. And this time I'm going to scale it down some so we don't have that problem that we had before. About like this. And I'm going to commence cutting out this little clock hand. So zoom in, go ahead and just take the free selection tool or the pass tool, whichever you prefer, and begin making a polygonal selection around it until you have a selection. So now I have my selection. I didn't bother to select inside of these because it'll all blend anyway. And now I'm going to click select invert and then just click edit, cut, select none. And it's a pretty rough cut, but you know, it's okay for our purposes. So I'm going to move this above the two main layer, but I'm going to move it below the border, and this doesn't look quite right. So first what I'm going to do is erase the edges over here that are sticking out. We don't want those. Secondly, what I'm going to do is take the free select tool, and this part's a little bit confusing, and I'm going to select everywhere that should be above this area. Now I'm going to click edit, copy, edit, paste, and make that a new layer. And basically what this does is it gives us the illusion that it starts below and moves above, which is what we want. So the two is finished. Now now we're just going to go file, open as layers, and open up your clock. So here I've opened my clock, and I'm just going to right-click, add an alpha channel, then start scaling it down with the change checked so as not to lose its aspect ratio. And so I've scaled down the clock to about what I want it, and I'm going to take the circle select tool and just select around the clock. Doesn't have to be perfect, just fairly rough. Now I'm going to click select feather by one, which blurs the selection, then click select invert, edit, cut, select none. So here we have our clock. It's not a very good cut, but oh well. I'm going to move it slightly behind the two, and now I'm going to alpha to selection this, make a new layer above the clock behind the two, fill it in with black, click select none. Then I'm going to alpha to selection the clock and select the two layer, then click filters, blur, Gaussian blur. And I'm just basically making a shadow on the clock for where the two is to give more aspects of depth. The only things we have left to do with the clock are to go colors, color balance, make it slightly more yellow, maybe add a little red in there for a goldish tinge. Now take the circle select tool, make a selection around like this on the clock. Make a new layer above the clock. Take your gradient tool with white, set it on FG to transparent, and stroke down. This will just give the clock a little more orb look. I did the one so far in the exact same way I did the two. I just used a bit different selection from the same picture. So if you need to find out how to do the one, refer back to part two just to save time. on this one, I'm going to merge down the bevel and emboss layers, which I forgot to do, and I also forgot to alpha selection and edit cut to add the border. All right, so as I was saying, tidbits for the one. The only tidbit I want to add to the one is a grandfather clock, so I'm going to go file, open as layers, and here is the clock. Where's the clock? There it is. And you're going to need to add an alpha channel to this, scale it down about to the size of the one, so I'm going to go to about here, and have fun rendering. So you need to get out the paths tool and start rendering again. After you get your grandfather clock rendered out successfully, place it right here, because I find it looks pretty good there. Now we're going to do the same thing that we did with the 2 and the 1 with the O, except instead of the other image we were using, we're going to conversion over to this image. It's like infinite clockworks there. And you want to grab something right around in this area. So yeah, go ahead and do that. Alright, we are in the final stages of the tutorial. If you followed me this far, congratulations. I'm high-fiving my screen right now. I actually seriously high-fived my screen. Anyway, the only thing we're going to add to the circle is a big gear from the same image that you made the background out of. So I'm going to go File, Open as Layers, and open up that infinite clockwork. And the particular gear I'm going to look for in this one, first I'm going to scale it down a little bit. And just move it to the top for convenience. The particular gear I'm going to look for is this one right here. So go ahead and zoom in, get out your free select tool, and have fun. Once you have the outside of this cutout, I'm going to take the circle select tool and put the select mode on subtract. And now I'm going to subtract out each of these holes in the gear. So do that. Once you have the gear perfectly selected, or not perfectly, doesn't really matter at all, it matters a little bit, but I'm not going to contradict myself now. We're going to go select feather by 1 pixel just to smooth the edges, then click select invert, and edit cut, select none. Alright, so we're going to move this to the center of the O, and as I'd imagined, yes, it happened. We're just going to edit, cut any excess that happens to come on. And that's because instead of deleting, I just cut, and it's really annoying. Because Max can't cut, and da-da-da-da. Alright, so we're going to duplicate this layer, alpha to selection it. And then on your fill bucket tool, click fill whole selection, and fill this in with black, and then click select none. Now on this layer, we're just going to go filters, blur, Gaussian blur. And for all of you people who are going to type, ha ha ha, you just could have used drop shadows, well, yeah, script foo's for sissies. Anyway, so now we're almost done, and you should have, like, a bajillion layers. We're going to go File, Open as Layers, and we're going to open a screw. And this screw is one I got from sxc.hu. I borrowed the idea from S-Glider's ornate typography tutorial, so I'm going to definitely scale this down quite a bit. So yeah, continue scaling this down. Oh, and by the way, when I said the ha 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 drop shadow, I was doing the Ray William Johnson troll impersonation, just so you know what I was doing. Is that relevant to the tutorial at all? Absolutely not, but you know, it works. So once you have your screw down to an adequate size, we're just going to take the circle tool and the mode set on normal again. Just cut it out real quick. Okay, not a perfect cut, but no one cares. So, I'm going to move the screw behind the two, because I want the shadow to, like, appear over it. Duplicate the screw, move it to other places. Oops, need to move that above the arm. Actually, I think I don't like that screw there, I'm moving it up here. I don't like that screw at all. Duplicate this. You know, keep on placing the screws where you think they should go. And move that above. Alright, so we are finally nearing the end of our great journey. We're just going to uncheck the background layer. Oh dear, I must have done that with the paintbrush tool rather than the eraser tool. That is wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Alright, where is that? There you are. We're just going to take the eraser tool and fix that up real quick. Okay, so I'm going to use the gradient metallic something as the background. And actually, I'm going to go image merge visible layers. And that's why we made the background invisible, because we don't want the background merged with it just yet. So now for the background, I'm going to use the gradient metallic something, and because I don't want this big chunk of black at the top of the screen, I'm just going to stroke down, about like that. Now I'm going to go duplicate this layer, alpha to selection it, fill it in with black, select none, filters, blur, Gaussian blur. And if GIMP is intent on being an idiot by not deleting things past the edge of the screen, which is probably a preference I can turn on somewhere, I'm just going to select around the 2010 text, click select invert, then click edit cut to get a more natural look. Alright, so now we have the background, all the shadows in place, now we're going to go layer, new for invisible, and I'm going to take this blend tool, and I'm going to find the gradient golden. I'm going to click colors, map, gradient map. And I'm going to set this layer mode on overlay just to give everything a nice yellow color. And on this one, I'm going to go this layer, I'm going to go colors, hue saturation, tone down the saturation a little bit. Alright, now we're still not done. We need to go we need to go file, open as layers, open up the final texture, which is right here. Set this on overlay, and then duplicate it. And yay, you're done. Pat yourself on the back. You made a pretty cool looking 2010 typography piece. So congratulations. Do whatever you do after you complete something big. And thanks for watching. Subscribe if you like this tutorial. Why would you subscribe if you didn't? So you probably wouldn't even get this far if you didn't. And anyway, yeah. So yeah, this is GIMP Know How. Thanks for watching.